Person should reveal himself just the minimal amount which is necessary to be able to relieve himself in a way that he should remain clean, which based on their clothing was a tefach in the back and the tefachim in the front. And for a woman, the isha, meachre a tefach, melefaneh b'leklum. Okay, so the Mishabura tefach, it's a cut involved. Well, yes, sir, he should not open the Megal and Mormishim Sneas because the Lachim Sneas. He's talking about a person's going to relieve himself for Kedarlim, he still has to uncover himself in front. Because normally both happen at the same time. And he tells him the Rachel can need space for the, shouldn't wet himself. The person should be careful not to make himself dirty. You create a besides the fact that it's not covered of the person, it creates all many halachic issues. Okay. Sif hey. If a person is going to the bathroom in a place which is he's out in the open, there's no walls around it, he should arrange it. He should be facing south, and his back will be towards the north. He'll be facing north, and his back is towards the south. He should be able to be in Mizrach L'Maariv is Asur, but facing between east and west is Asur. This is a Gemara, and the Gemara says the issue was that because you're facing east and west, you're facing either towards your Shalayim in the front or you're facing towards your Shalayim in the back, and that's not proper. The Gemara has a Machlokes that applies only in Eretz Yisrael, and Rebbe Akiva says it applies B'chol Mokum, it applies anywhere in the world. So we're passing like Rebbe Akiva. However, to be matal mayim b'chol inyan ashari. We'll see that not everybody agrees with that.
Do north or do south of your
shrine? So the Gemara says you're actually directly north or south. It would be an issue. North and south. Megula. Aba b'chotzer b'cholinyan shor, if a person's inside of a closed area, so then it's not a problem. So the Beis Yosef Magan Avram are matur in that situation. Aba b'tazm hiskim ima'ari avuav. The b'chotzer gam ken otzer be'emsa chotzer be'en mizrach l'mariv. If you're within an enclosed area, but it's not a very small area, it's a large area. You're in the middle of that area. So you're open. You have to move over to the side. The Drisha says like that. Also, another acronym also. That abbreviation could stand for either Vishar Achronim or other Achronim. The Vishar Ephraim or the Shar Ephraim or the Shagas Aryeh. You have to know which one he's referring to. When he said Shen Alet, is he referring to the over here? He's referring to Shar Echanim. Other Echanim also said the same thing. But what we have, which is a person enclosed in a small basic, he said that this issue is not an issue anymore. Hashem Mechitzes, or Yeshma Mechitzes. You have a mechitza on the west side. Yesh b'tzad a mechitza b'samachlo. The hainu akapon and b'soich daladamis within daladamis of the wall. Acherv le'mariv klape mechitza b'nifter sham. He'll pace with his back towards the wall, and he'll relieve himself there. Chemim akasav b'mizruch. Yesh b'samachlo acherv le'mizruch. He'll face towards the wall with his back facing towards the wall.
Um,
So there's an interesting concept. The more it raises this point, what's the problem with Misach Maariv? So the problem is that, you know, facing east, because Yerushalayim is to the east of us, and we know that the concept of the Shechina in the Mikdash itself was on the west side. So we're extrapolating that concept. There's a general concept of the Shechina B'Maariv, so so if you're facing towards the Maariv, you still have a problem. Because from Megadim, they ensheir legoiva hamakitza rakol shein piru and megula yadeze shori. So it's not a full halachic status of a makitza which you need 10 tefachim. It's high enough that a person won't be seen, will not be his opening will not be seen, but from the other side. So the Mechaber said that he should be facing panav l'darim v'achirav l'tzofen or ipcha. The ipcha loy. The table service. Mr. Bruce Cotton-Test says some disagree and say that the other direction is problematic. The table service says it's proper to be machmer on that possibility, if possible. It's a pi kabbalah, not a pi halacha. So a person's out and opening and he has to relieve himself, he should be facing south. But a person should not go between Mizrach Maariv is Osir, Shem the Shechina Shara B'Maariv. So the Shechina is B'Shara B'Maariv. See that you're opening in front or in back is a problem. If the master part of the Maariv is Osir, the Mizrach Shuk Negan Maariv Yeshu Gam Ken Kedusha. The Mizrach also has a problem of that it's the parallel side to Maariv. Suppose it's up and down. So the Ramah said the Hatamayim Becholinyan Shari, but just being Matamayim, any direction is mutter. The Gro disagrees. It says even the Hatamayim facing towards Maariv is a problem because the Shechina is by Maariv. Okay, Vav. Chenosh Elishan ben Mizrach LaMaariv Imishta Imoy. Benochon Lizar Filu Kashayin Ishta Imoy. The person's with his wife. He should not be lying between Mizrach and Maariv. Now, this is a machloik, is what that means. So, Zet Mishavura, Yud Aleph, Ben Mizrach and Yechav, and Shiyah, Roisha, Shalomita, Letzofen, Mermargala, Seladorm. You should put the bed with the head of the bed is towards the north, and the foot of the bed is towards the south. Okay, so that's how Halacha understands it. Which was Menachem Azariah. So the Ramami Pano, Menachem Azariah from the city of Pano, Pasuk Moshe Kosev Azariah B'Parshas, he brings Azariah, She Roisha Barglaseh Shalamita Zelim Mitzuch Zelim Aruf. The bed should be with the head towards Mizrach and the feet towards Maariv. I'm sorry, the head should be towards Maariv and the feet should be towards Mizrach. Isam Shom Sheyeh Rosh LaMaariv because Bar Sechem Hashem Kam Achronim. So that the Zohar seems to say it should be in that direction. Kam Malkam Tav Yosef Chachil and Linnu Keshulchan Aruch. It's better to follow the Shulchan Aruch that it should be north-south. Ki B'Tshuvas Binyan Shal Simcha Kosev B'Shem Agroa Shem Roshagam Kabonat HaZohar Hu Kam Gemara B'Loi Kepir Sharab Menachem HaZohar Yana. The Peshat the Gemara also means that you put the bed between the Mizrach and Maariv means that the bed is facing north-south and it differs between Mizrach and Maariv. Not that you're facing the bed east-west. You're facing the bed north-south. So if this is north-south, it's not north-south. Okay. If this is north-south, so your bed is between Mizrach and Maariv. As opposed to saying the bed is supposed to be facing Mizrach Maariv. That's what the gross is, the Zohar means. So he's not accepting the pshat of the Ramami Pano in the Zohar, and therefore the Mishabura says, if we can reconcile the Zohar with the Gemara and keep the Shulchan Aruch, we should do that. Now this is Bechlal, a sheet of the Gra. Let me finish. So this is a sheet of the Gra in general. We find in Halacha that many times you discuss an issue, we have a Mechlal between the Zohar and the Gemara. And what do you do? So the standard answer between that is that you'll get two different answers. You get one answer from the Misnagdim, one answer from the Chassidim. The Misnagdim will tell you that you follow the halacha. The Chassidim will tell you, well, you can't play around with the Kabbalah, you know, with Zoyer. The Groh has a different answer. The Groh said there's no such thing as a machlokes between the Kabbalah and the Gemara. It doesn't exist. There's about 347 different machlokes in between the Zohar and the Gemara. So he goes through many of them and explains how that we're misunderstanding what the Zohar means or what the Gemara means. And the Groh says that anytime you learn a Gemara, he says that you have to learn the Pshat in the Gemara. At some point in a person's life, when a person starts learning Taras Nister, he has to go back and make sure that his Pshat in the Gemara is Mechuvan, is correct based on Taras Nister also. And it's only true Pshat in the Gemara, but it's also Mechuvan Alpi Nister, which tells you a lot about when the Gemara wrote something of Pshat in the Gemara, whatever he said was also Mechuvan Alpi Taras Nister. That's a pretty major statement. Some of the Pshatim in the Gemara, you know, sound like a little bit interesting. Just one on the top of my head, which is a very common question. The Zohar mentioned that a person has to have Yud Beis Chalas for a Suda Shabbos. And the Gemara says you have to have Lecha Mishnah for Suda Shabbos. You know, by the Chassidim, they have, you know, Yud Beis Chalas is a big thing. You can have different forms of how Yud Beis Chalas have to be separate. They have to be dafka together. It's made in the form of a keser. You can get all the different, you know, different shittas about Yud Beis Chalas. The Gemara says two. The Groh says it's not pshat in the Zohar. The Zohar is saying it's Yud Beis Lachomim. If you have each Suda, so one pshat that they say is that if you make your chalas in the shape of a vav, so you know that the traditional shape of chalas was like a vav. You have two vavs, so that's the gematria of 12. God doesn't like that either. He says if you take each Suda, the Goyen brings a raya from the Gemara that you're supposed to cut both chalas. It's the sheet of the rush holds you have to cut both chalas. So you start out with means you have two chalas for each of the three meals. That's six chalas. You cut them in half, you have 12 halves. That's what the Zohar meant. The Zohar said you have to have 12 lechomim. It meant that you have to cut all of your chalas and you'll end up with 12 lechomim. So the Zohar is not creating this whole new concept, which Gemara never mentioned, of lechem mishnah versus that. So he does that through many, many arguments. He says over here, if the Gemara says clearly, explicitly, that the bed has to be north-south, we can't have the Zohar saying that the bed has to be east-west. It can't be. So we have to figure out either the Gemara doesn't mean that or the Zohar doesn't mean that. But there's only thing that's a machlokes between the two things. Which I mean, you have to feel like it's a compelling thought process. You know, they say we should have a machlokes in halacha and kabbalah. Sounds strange to us. You know, that the Torah, the nister should be the depth of understanding of what the metzias of Torah is. If that's Torah, it's Torah. If not Torah, it's not Torah. This Torah says that. The Torah says this. That's strange. Okay, but obviously that the Groh says it, but there are people who argue with him. So now, the Shulchan Aruch says that even if your wife is not with you, a person should be careful to they should lie north south. Yud Beis Avilach Sheein Ein Rashi Zachayim De Bezeh Ein Lahach Rurak B'Sheichem Orim UBein Kloyim Sabiv Amita. That's only an issue if a person is. Doesn't have clothing, and he doesn't have some type of a canopy around the bed, curtains around the bed. So in that situation, a person was sleeping, they might become uncovered. So that's an issue of, it requires north-south. You know, east-west would be a problem, but if a person's sleeping in such a way that either he's wearing pajamas, or there's curtains around the bed, so there's no akpada which direction the bed is placed. But a person's with his wife, that's a different story. The Arshat Zechayim was written by the Malbim. So it's fascinating. You learn Arshat Zechayim. Arshat Zechayim is a tremendous lamdas in the Sefer. You see that the Malbim was a tremendous lamdas. We know him as, you know, Pirush and Chumash, you know. He wrote Pirush and Chumash. The Chaim Brisker said about the Malbim, he was one of the three biggest geniuses in the generation before, you know, his father's generation, the Beis Halevi generation. He said the Malbim was one of the three biggest geniuses which existed, And he said that he planned to write a Pirush like the Ursus Chaim. It's a phenomenal sefer. It goes through about the first 31 simonim of Shulchan Aruch, if I recall correctly. He planned to write one on all of Shulchan Aruch, but he left that and he chose instead to write what he wrote on the Chumash, because he felt it was a very important weapon against the Reform. Because part of the Reform was that, you know, you can keep the Torah Shabbat Ksav without Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat was this rabbinical thing which is made out of nowhere. And one of his main goals in his Pirush on Chumash was to show that how every single Chazal was really based on the Pasuk. The name of his Pirush, he calls it Hatar Vamitzvah. That's exactly what it is. And so to create that, he developed backwards what were the quality of dikta that Chazal used and the questions that they had, which they created, which caused them to see these type of things in the Psukim. He creates 613 klolim of diktuk. Beginning of Sefer Vayikra, he has 613 klolim of diktuk that Chazal used to answer questions on the Psukim, which generated the drushas that they said. Now, to work that out from out of nowhere, it's a work of absolute, you know, stunning genius. To work backwards, that they made these drushes, that must have been, there was a question about them, this must have been the question on the pasuk, and this is a cloud which works throughout Shas, always, that this question is always going to be true. It's a mind-boggling work.
So, are you saying that, for instance, sometimes in the Gemara, somebody comes up with an opinion, and I'm just mystified as to where they get that from. So you're saying he explains
many of them. I just can't think it goes all of them, but you have more of a chalik of something that says, well, Rabbi Huda saw this problem in the pasuk, Rishon saw this problem in the pasuk. This is based on this cloud, which is always true. This cloud is always true, and they, you know, it's mind boggling to look at his work when you really, you know, go through it. But he could have written a Pirush on Shulchan Aruch, which is, again, the Ursus Chaim is a masterpiece. We only have 31 simanim of it because he gave it up to do the Pirush and Chumash. So I guess we're happy with what we got. Okay. Zion. So this halacha of when a person say matal mayim, any direction is permitted. However, hamatal Zion, hamatal mayim mean a tzayfim or lifnim. Tzayfim is, so what is tzayfim? So the two pshatim and tzayfim. One is, we call Mount Scopus. Heart sophim, right? That's English translation. Sophim means to see. Scopus is the Latin word for seeing. So Mount Scopus is heart sophim. It's pretty easy to see that in the words, right? However, some Rashi learns that sophim pirish. The Ramovir quotes the Rashi. Malkam shechalam liris misham harabayis misham b'hola en yechalam liris. It sounds like Rashi learning that wasn't specifically heart sophim. Means in any direction where you could see the harabayis, that's called sophim. From that point and onward, from that point and inwards, so lo yeshev. Now we don't have the word yeshev in the Shulchan Aruch as is. We're putting it in as an emendation to the text. You see, the Mishnah Berurah actually puts it in and tells you that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, he's putting it in because we didn't. It's not really actually written in the text as is. Lo yeshev upon him, because you can't be facing towards the mikdash. El of the saf and ledorim, or you sell the kodesh ledstodin. So you have to be facing not in the direction towards the mikdash, or you have to move away. You shouldn't be directly north, south, east, west, whatever it is. You have to be away from the direction of the mikdash, off to the side, and you're able to relieve yourself. Well, yeshev upon of, Mrs. Kotnyu Gimel. Kain Tzarech Loimer, that with the word lo yeshev, because the Gersh and the Shulchan Aruch was written with the word yeshev. So he adds the word lo yeshev. Kain Tzarech Loimer, Taz, Shach Rahim, that's a Taz. Other Rahim also pointed out that
it. Yeshev upon of Klapeh.
So you have to add the word lo. What? It doesn't make sense. Right, that's why you have to add the word lo, right.
Lo is there to the before in Rak.
You have it in brackets? What do you have it in?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why. Fine. Ella, so the most Ella Tzofen. Who would then be Machar, Beklapi, Kodesh, Sharb, Hatalos, Meraglaim? If he's facing away from the Mikdash, so he's not uncovering himself in the back, so that's fine. So, Vibir Grod, the Hiskam, the Philomena Tzofen, L'chutz, even beyond Seifim, in Potom Klapei Kodesh, also Batalos Miraglayim. If he's facing directly towards Mikdash, it's a problem. I'm not sure in this Gra how far he's taking. He's taking it only in Yerushalayim. He's talking about, you know, beyond how far he's taking. I'm not sure what he means by that. Now, also Lamed Liponis Lahedya Neged Besa Knesses or Besa Medrash. A person should not, even towards a shul or towards a Beis HaMedrash, a person has this issue of a person relieving himself toward that direction. So there's a pasuk in Yecheskel, a horrible nevuah that Yecheskel Navi sees. See, he was Yecheskel Navi was taken into Golis early before the Churban Abayis. He was with the Cheresh HaMashker, which was the first wave of Golus, he was taken there. So he has a nevuah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu about the Churban, and he wants to know what the Rosh was like, sort of answering him why he's creating the Churban. And he's lifted up in his nevuah and brought to Yerushalayim to the Mikdash, and he sees people standing there in the Mikdash, bowing towards the Avodah Zorah with their backs open and uncovered, facing towards the Heichal. So that's the level of degradation that they were insulting towards the Mikdash. So that's why the Churban is going to come. So that was the Nevuah. So this concept of Bachar Mel Hechel Hashem, that we have to be machmer on that, careful that applies to basic Knesset, basic Medrash also. You shouldn't set up a Beis HaKisei in that area. That's the Sefer Chassidim. We brought a curse of Be'em, so the Hafsik Be'em Mechitzah, the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaKisei, the Beis HaKnesses, the Chorein LaHachmer, Be'em Barthes HaKhaim. If there's a wall in which is not part of the Beis HaKisei, it's an independent wall, so that would not be a problem. So you.
What about Chassidim?
It's from the Sefer Chassidim. It's a quote from the Sefer Chassidim. Samachez and Sefer Chassidim. Now there's an obvious other problem, which was that Reach Ra, you can't daven when there's a Reach Ra coming from the Beis HaKisei. Beyond this issue, the Beis HaKisei is way out in the field, there's a shul out in the field, there's something, there's the other end of the field, but basically there's no smell coming. We still have this problem, there's nothing in between that. But if it's close enough, there's going to be a smell issue, obviously that's going to be a problem. Right? Fine. Kishanit the Masada, the person's out in Masada.
A wood side has this problem, but if the stall, there's one stall where the wall is mamish the wall of the where they pray, and the other one, the stall wall is not the wall, it's not the wall of the shul. So is that okay?
So, what's the halacha when you're building a building? Is not what he's talking about over here. It's talking over here that you're building the Beis HaKisei. The Beis HaKisei, right now, that's part of the wall of the building. It doesn't come in Yichud for Beis HaKisei.
Doesn't want.
So it's no problem.
In other words, if I have a wall, which this is, here's a room over here, and this wall is 20 feet long, and 3 feet of it is there's a Beis HaKisei facing towards. It's not a problem. Because that wall doesn't belong to the Beis HaKisei. That's part of the wall of the room. Right? So, but here, was the issue was he was building the Beis HaKisei, a building which was an outhouse. Mm-hmm. So all of the walls are built for the Beis HaKisei. Mm-hmm. So the wall of the outhouse is facing towards the shul. That's a problem. Because that is part of the Beis HaKisei, that wall. Whereas the case of, where you build a building, that wall is not part of the Beis HaKisei. It's not intrinsic. It's not only solely part of it. It's part of the wall of the room, so that's not a problem. You still would not want to set it up if with the person's back facing towards the shul, towards the place where you're davening. Okay. Jim the Masada, person's out in the field. Imu Achari, I get it. It's behind the fence. You put him a yad. He can do it right over there. He doesn't have to distance himself. If it's an open area, it has to be far enough away that people can't see him. Nobody can see him. The wall sort of blocks the vision. The same thing. Again, they have their. They would have. They would do this. So there's a wall there, so that it gives him protection. Even if a person can hear the fact that the person is relieving himself, there's a sound. But if it bothers you, so don't do it. But if it doesn't bother you, that's your problem. That's not a lack of tznius. Piru means his being exposed. What he has to uncover to use the bathroom. You can see the person's there, but you can't see what he's doing. So that's what. Okay. Siftas. Person should not sit down quickly and force himself to relieve himself. He shouldn't push too hard. So you're not the shine harkakashta. The muscles which hold, it's referred to the shine karkashta is the rectum. It's the part of the last part of the intestine. So if a person pushes the heart, he can rip it off from the muscles which hold the wall and to the wall, and that's obviously very dangerous. Okay, it's interesting. This is a Gemara. That's not a medical book. It's a Gemara. Yud lo yikeach biyadimin. A person should not yikeach. Person they would clean themselves. Now there is a Shulchan Aruch Rav who says that this is all talking about that they would yikeach. They would hold some type of like a stone or something to wipe themselves with to scrape off any dirt, anything which was there. Nowadays, when a person uses tissues, it's not a problem. There's a mop, the full hassle between his hand and so he's not. But they did it directly, so that's a problem. So a person should not use his yadimin. Again, why not? Yud Zayin. Yadimin. Midesha Kershe Bo Tfilin Al Zroya Hasmali. A person uses his right hand to tie the tefillin. The Gemara gives another list of reasons because the Torah is given with the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Yamin, because a person usually uses his right hand to eat from. It's the difference in that it's Mias. Or the Gemara says a pshat, which is a fascinating pshat, like you wonder where it came from. The Gemara says when a person's laning, remember each person would get up there to lane, each person would take their own turn. So they didn't always remember all of the Shrub. So they would show it with their hand what to do. And they had a certain, the Gemara says they had, you know, you think this hand signal thing was a Nayamaisa, it's a Gemara, brachas and Dafsama Beis. The Gemara says that they would be Mara, and they used to use the right hand for it. So you're using your right hand to show exactly how to do your trup, so you shouldn't use it in Kaneach.
It's
Ayin Mas. It's a certain hanof from that Gemara. It's like, you know, you think it's an ayam ma'isa. This is a ma'isa. It's 2,000 years old already. This.
What's an ayin mas?
I'm sorry.
What's an ayin mas?
Ayin mas.
Ayin mas.
Naya masa.
Naya ma'isa. It's not something new. Okay. Yeah. Now. So it was interesting that the mitzvah is uchartem lo isay yodecho. So you're mekayim the mitzvah with your right hand. You put your tefillin on your left hand, but the act of kshira is with your right hand. So you said before, when it comes to kshira, the left has a chashivas because you're kosher on the left. So the guy with the shoes, we said you put on your right shoe first because you give a chashivas to yamin, but you tie the left and then the left, but you tie the left shoe first because being kosher belongs to the left. Being kosher belongs to the right. So even though mitzvah the shoe, the point is that it's a tied shoe, so it's kosher. So that belongs to the left. But the mitzvah of kshira, the mitzvah of kshira is what done with the right. So we don't use that for kinuach. Now, the middle finger, which is the one that you tie the ritzua around, it has a chashiva. So you shouldn't use, try not to use that finger. So a person who's a lefty, and therefore he ties with his left hand onto his right arm. So mekanech b'smol today, he has to be mekanech with his right hand, shu yamin kol adam, which is what people refer to as right. Vim kaisim b'smol, b'sham raisim oisim b'yamin al lehepeth. Anbir alocha. If, however, he writes with his left, and he has his, all of his other things he does with his right, or he writes with his right, everything else he does with his left, so anbir alocha, he tends to bir alocha. So what's the shaila? So there's machlokes. We'll see later. I'm gonna get the simcha above. There's two drushes of the defining where you put your tefillin, which arm you put your tefillin on. One is because it's Rashi says in Chumash. It says one time it says the word yodcha, instead of writing it yud dalet chav safis, which is the way we normally would write it. It writes it yud dalet chav hey. And it's pronounced Yod Cho, but it's written with Chaf Hei. So Chaf Hei with Darshan Yad Keo, the lighter hand, the weaker hand. So you put it on your weaker hand. So that would be Kaveya, that the person puts it. So a person who's a lefty and his strength is in his left, he would put it on his right. He would put it on his right arm. That's one reason why we understand the Lacha. The other one is it says Ukshartu Muksavto. So your kosher, the next passage talk says, and your kosher the tefillin, the mezuzah. I'm sorry, your kosher the tefillin. The next passage says, and your kosher the mezuzah. So your kosher the mezuzah with your right hand, because you write with your right hand. Therefore, your kosher with your right hand, which means you're going to put on your left hand. So the nafkamina between those two pshatim is. So what about somebody who's ambidextrous in the sense that he writes with one hand, but he does his strength is in his other hand. So now what does he do? So for the average person, where his strength is in his right hand, that his writing is with his right hand, so he puts it on his left arm. It's very easy. It's the weaker arm, and it's the arm that, it's not the arm that you write with. But what you have, so that's going to be machlokas later on in Hilchos Tefillin. What's decisive? Is it the strength which is decisive, or is it the fact that Siva is decisive? So now, taking that back to over here, so you have a person who, let's say we hold strength as decisive. So you have a person who will write with his right hand, but his strength is in his left hand. Right? So he puts tefillin on his right hand. If you say strength is decisive, because his right hand is a weaker hand. So, it usually ends up being, for most of us, usually fine motor skills would be with one hand, and his gross motor skills are with the other hand. So his fine motor skills are with his right hand, and his gross motor skills are with the left hand. So his left arm is stronger, so he puts it on his right hand, even though he writes with his right hand. So now, which hand is he supposed to be kenach with? Right? So what do we do? So is he kenach? So we should say he should be mekanech with his right hand, even though he does ksiva with his right hand. Now let's say you decide that the opposite, that we don't look, we define it based on ksiva. So his left hand is a stronger hand, his right hand is the hand that he writes with. So he puts it on his left hand. So he's kosher with his right hand. He's kosher with his right hand. So normally we say, well, he shouldn't be mekanech with his right hand, he should be mekanech with his left hand. He says, but in that situation where he's kosher with his right hand, and he's going to be kosher with his right hand, but his left hand is stronger, his left hand is his dominant hand, so there's the Prima Gadim says you're mekanech with the right hand, even though it's the hand which you're kosher with. Because we're giving lechashivas to the stronger hand, that's his yamin. That's really, in other words, if we, the language of the Gemara and the Rishonim, they use it in general. They refer to the eater that his he has. That's his yamin. We translate yamin as right, and the other one is left. Or you know, I don't know what the correct translation of the word yamin is, but the language of the Gemara is that's his yamin. What we call left for him is yamin. So if that's his yamin, the other hand is small, and you're mekanech with the yad small, even though he's kosher in that situation, because he's going to be kosher on his yamin. But it doesn't make a difference. He's mekanech with his small. Am I making sense?
No.
That was an honest answer. We're sitting over here like this. So normally the person ties with his right hand onto his left hand, and therefore when he goes to clean himself after the bathroom, it's not right to use the hand which ties to clean. So you don't use yamin for cleaning; you use small for cleaning. That's what we're saying over here. So that works for even most people. That works very easily. What do you do a person who's an eater? So a person who's a full fledged eater yad. What we call left is his yamin. That's his yamin. Is his left hand. That's his yamin, and his other hand is small. So he will tie with his yamin, which we call left, onto his small, which we call right. So vayter, he's going to connect with his right hand, which is small. So far, so good. Right? We call it right. It's on this part of the body, but for him, this is small, and this is yamin. For the person who's an eater, this is his yamin and this is his small. I don't care what you call it in English. This is yamin and this is small. That's what the more understands an eater. So his stronger hand is his yamin and his weaker hand is his small. So now he's going to be coming back like everybody else with his small. But happens to be his small is different than most people's small. Now what do you do if you have this interesting fellow who is, his strength is in his left hand, so that's his yamin. He writes with his right hand. So this is still his yamin. Even though he writes with his right hand. So when it comes to Hilchos Tefillin, he's going to take this hand, which is small, and put Tefillin on his yamin. Because the Iker is Ksiva. But at the end of the day, this is still yamin. And your mekanech was small. That's what Prima Gadim is saying. So your mekanech with the hand, which is going to be the hand which ties. And this is going to be the exception. That's the point of the Bir Halacha. Okay, if you got it, good. Here's the Halacha Maaseh, you'll ask me. We mentioned before that there's this inyan of kshafim, so using cheris to scrape oneself to be clean allows oneself to be affected by kshafim. Cheris seems to play a very big role in the inyan of kishuv. Below some innovation. You shouldn't use dried grass. Shemakanech, but davar she'or shalit boy, something which is flammable. Ashinov hatatonus noshers, so it can affect. It's dangerous. It can affect the muscles there. Lobe shemakanech, but chaver shouldn't use a stone which is used by somebody else. Mention maybe as odom ledetatonus, it can cause a person to become ill. Hagav ashesh, but ksiyos ksiso shalono enam besara. Now that we're not in the fields, so nogal kanech becheres, we can nogal kanech bedaber or sholit by veno mazik pechazim ado amadaber. That these all the issues of kishuv etc. were only issues when it was out in the field. When it's in a basic kisei, it doesn't affect the person. You know, I use the phrase puchazom amadaber. That phrase is he's borrowing it from a Gemara. The Gemara says it. Go out, poik, go out, chazi, see, ma'ama, what the people, what the nation, dabor is doing. The word dabor is saying, but it also means actually the lashon of leading is the yad bet amitachtein. The Bershom is going to lead the nations. The nations will be led under our control. So the word dabor means the idea of how they're being noyig. So sometimes we will use the actions of people as definitive. There's a language of I saw in the Tribute to Eliezer used it in one place. He says that the more uses the it's more psalm, the more says, how come Yisrael let the Jews figure it out. They come from prophets. They know how to do it. They'll get it right. So you see something which all of Klai Yisrael is noyig, you know, again, we're talking about people who keep halacha. We have to assume that there's a good reason why they're doing it. So even someone seems to be questionable in halacha, he's looking to find an explanation what they're relying on, because it's not logical that Klai Yisrael, the people who are care about halacha, should be doing something which is a whole big corpus of people doing something which is improper. So that's the phrase of Pukhazah Ma'amad Dabor. Let's get the Mishnah Berurah in. Even though it's smooth, even though it won't cut you, obviously it's going to cut you, it's dangerous. The main chalaka, yesh bechidurim, ktanim, yesh gam ken mishum nesakana, shlyanatik shiner kakashta. If it's something which, you know, it can sharp, it can cut, it's very dangerous, it can cut through the puncture, and cut the muscles, etc. Obviously it's not an issue. You can't use that. Chavera, albim kinah, who adds my boy, he used it himself, this stone prior, or chayavish, ashkinach mitzad acher lesson bought. He used a different part of the stone, etc. That's not a problem. Again, the issue was the medical issue we're not worried about. Enem basada, washkichik kshafim, chen mutter becheres, tadavkim hu cholak bechana. Kshafim was more relevant out in the wild. The other items which can be used, which are flammable when you use tissue, right? But the used actual asovim, they come up, cut into the skin, the sharp edges of you get a paper cut type of a thing from the grass. Come on, Mesimin Shinya Basif. Hey, I'm from Megadim. You should make sure you clean up after yourself. The next person shouldn't become dirty because of you. Okay.